Well, good evening, everyone. We're being recorded, which is great. It's good to be with you again this evening. I hope everybody had a wonderful Labor Day holiday. We certainly did as a family, and it's good to be with you this evening. Been pondering this call this afternoon with a tremendous desire to address some sensitive issues and to be of service to each one of you. But as you listen to the recording, if you want to replay it, that it will continue to be of value to you. That is our mission. That is our goal with these phone calls. I share with you what I'm feeling from the emails and comments that I get through the course of the week working with our staff. Want to bring you information that's timely to address at this point in your lives, have some sense of what's happening in the marketplace and with some of your businesses, and some things are very exciting and some things can be a little frustrating. This weekend, a couple of very interesting things happened. I'm going to share it with you. I have a dear, close family member, I'll leave it at that, who has been drinking for the last 35 years. He was sober about 7 years ago for a three-year period. It ended 7 years ago. And he fell off the wagon and 60 days ago, got a 60-day chip from AA on Thursday before we left the cabin. So proud of him. We had the most amazing experience because I saw this man show up like I remember him as a child, giving and tender and gentle and sensitive, even around screaming young little kids. On the way home last night, we had quite a ride. We had an opportunity to listen to a CD from a speaker at an AA meeting, and he was just hilarious. A man who had been sober for 17 years, who was talking about his craziness that he was going through, and then his decision to become sober. And as I listened to this CD, I thought, wow, this is just so similar to so many who are addicted to fear, so many who are addicted to self-esteem challenges, to that craziness that comes with catastrophizing and fantasy and all that other stuff. And I thought, oh, my goodness, I just really appreciated the information we received. At one time, the speaker said that he had to get to a point there was more God in him and less of himself in his way. I asked my friend if this was from the AA, the big book, and he said, yeah, that came from the big book. More of God in me and less of myself in the way. I thought that was such a powerful phrase. Then I asked him this question. I said, you know, it has been such a joy to be with you all weekend. Such a powerful human being with so many gifts and knows so much about so many things, and has just had this one thing in his way, alcohol. Now, I'm sharing this story because for some of you, it might just be fear, or it might be catastrophizing or fantasizing. One thing that just has held him back from being all that he could be. And I said, what was it this time? You're a different man in 60 days. You've come farther in 60 days than you did in 3 years the last time. He lived with us for those 3 years, good part of them. And he said, I finally gave up. I thought that was a curious comment. I finally gave up. I said, would you tell me more about that? He said, yes. I finally gave up fighting everything. I finally gave up rebelling against everything. I finally gave up being angry about everything. And he had some things happen in his life that he certainly could be angry about if he chose to. Some horrible things. It was a car accident when he was 15 and his best friend was crushed, killed right there on the spot. Really a gruesome scene for him to be a part of, to be out in the middle of the desert with a dead friend and a girlfriend with a crushed skull and him with his legs mangled but still alive. Just very traumatic. Many many, many things like that throughout his life. Got hit on a bicycle by a lady going 55 miles an hour, pushed him, you know, several hundred feet down the freeway and broke just about everything that could be broken in his body. And he spent a lifetime in just enormous pain dealing with those wounds as they've been healing and disfigurement in his legs and arms because of it, just tremendous pain. Lots of reasons. He said, I finally gave up. And it just has stuck with me since the conversation last night. I can't get it out of my mind today. And in my coaching sessions today, we've been having this kind of a discussion. Giving up. Stop fighting. All of these things that we keep fighting. And finally, just letting go. And just being. I saw a man who was beginning to become whole and complete. Now, it's one day at a time, there's no question, but he wants to die sober. He said, you know, I came to a point, Dave, where I either kept drinking and I died, or I stopped and I lived. It's that simple. I just know if I drink again, I'll kill myself. I mean, I'll drink till I'm dead. You just can't control it. And I thought, how many of us on this phone, how many of us are dealing with a self-esteem issue, a fear of some kind, an inadequacy, or fears that we create by catastrophizing, by worrying? We sometimes try to escape with fantasy. What is it that we've been hanging on to? Is it the past when we had more money and things aren't the same, or a past relationship that was that has failed? Or what are we hanging on to? What are we unwilling to let go of? What is it in terms of our pride that is keeping us from being all that we can be? I'll give you a really subtle one. There are a lot of people that get involved in direct sales and direct marketing. And they're okay around their peers, but they get out into public and there's a certain amount of shame involved. Just a little bit of shame. One of my favorite networkers in the world is Dan McCormick. I have such respect for this man. Not only is he a good man and a kind man, he loves what he does. He just loves it. He has let go of any fear or shame or taint. And when he did, he found something totally new, complete, the beauty of the business. That's one thing. The other thing I've been pondering was a couple that was at our couples retreat last week. Got a sweet letter from them. And in that correspondence, they said, thank you for what we did on Saturday morning. And what we did was this. Met with the two of them, and we'd been working for a couple of days. Things were really difficult. They were a little older in years, and they just lost their home and their car and her job, and we'd gone through a bankruptcy. It's just a painful, painful time for them, and they weren't sure they even wanted to spend any more time together, be together. And Saturday morning, I said, what would happen if today you acted like you loved each other? Acted like you loved each other. I didn't say you have to love each other. Just act like you did. What would you do if you did? And what was interesting, as the day wore on, they were acting like they loved each other, and down came, they let go of the anger. They let go of the resistance. And all of a sudden, their relationship started to come together, and they started to see each other the way they saw each other years and years and years ago, 38 years ago when they got married. 38 years they've been together. Then they came and spent Sunday with Ramona and me, and Monday, and then they left and went home. And every day has been a little better. Each day, acting like they are in love with one another, and they actually are falling in love with each other. So we know that what we're talking about and have been every Tuesday night are thought processes that want to sabotage us. Some of them we are so attached to our fear, our catastrophe, our self-doubt, our beliefs about our relationships or our businesses, or just thought processes, so attached to them that they are sabotaging our lives at every level. What would happen? What would happen if today, tonight, starting right now, you were to just say, I'm so tired of fighting this. Great. Then stop fighting. Whew. Just let the fear go. Let the anxiety go. Because we're going to finish up our discussion on self-esteem tonight. We got started last week. We had a very interesting conversation. Loved the energy in the group. The comments that were made at the beginning. If you recall, Shane and Judy had just come back from a couples retreat, and they reported that the next Monday morning he was laid off, but they, in 2 hours, put a new plan together, and it dove in with both feet. And Shane, Judy, if you're on the phone, I tried to call you today, but your phone was busy. Love to hear what's happening over the course of this last week with that weighing on you. If you're still hanging in there, I'd like to talk to you privately to see how you're doing. Let's try to connect sometime tomorrow, and if you can call in and check with Ramona, and let's schedule a few minutes just to make sure everything's okay and there's anything I can do to be of service. Start off with those thoughts. And we went into self-esteem. And I shared with, all those who are new on the call tonight, welcome. This is an opportunity for us to get really real about what's really going on in our lives and to make commitments collectively as a group and individually to move our lives forward and come back next Tuesday night better people. And then the next Tuesday night, a better person, and then another better person, so that a year from now, which is going to come, 52 weeks from now, will come. There's no question about it. It's going to be here. The question will be, what have we become? What have we become? Taking each week, one day at a time, and each week reporting back and letting me share with you just a little bit more information to move you forward. So welcome to the call this evening. Last week we were talking about self-esteem. I talked about the two major causes of low self-esteem. Just quickly review. One is unmet, unrealistic expectations because of the chemicals that are released in our bodies. Anybody that's got a question about that can go back and listen to the call from last week. I won't rehearse that again. But when we have those things in our bodies, we have all kinds of anxiety that occurs and unmet expectations. We end up blaming ourselves. Maybe there's something wrong with me. Maybe God doesn't love me. Maybe that's the problem. I'm the problem. If I weren't in this equation, this would be working. That's the most common cause of self-esteem challenges. The other one are traumas to our lives. Child abuse, bad relationships, economic loss, serious health challenges, those kinds of things. And I mentioned last week, and I'll mention again, if you've had some of those things happen and you're having a difficult time moving forward beyond them, you're stuck in them, you may want to get some advice, some counsel from a licensed therapist. I'm not a therapist. I'm a coach. I take people who are ready to move forward, who say, I've had enough of that. I understand all that. There's nothing I can do to change that. I'm ready now to move forward. There is a mourning period. There is all kinds of psychology around the loss of something. And it's very important that you're in the hands of a professional to work through that if you have not done so thus far. I might mention, I don't think I mentioned this last week, I produced a film called Can't You See Me on the subject of acquaintance rape. And we were airing it in University of California, San Diego, in their theater. And we had all these students in the room, big amphitheater, and rape crisis counselors, and et cetera. We were showing this at the college. That was going to be the premiere. About halfway through this film, we could hear someone crying. And we turned around, and there was a young man about 19 years of age who was working his way out of the room. And the rape crisis counselor grabbed me by the hand, and we shot out the door to meet him and found out that he had been sexually molested by a neighbor at the age of 12. It was very painful. And they had reported it. The man had been prosecuted, found guilty, and was imprisoned. However, when that trial was over, the father said, okay, it's over. We're not going to talk about this ever again. The young man did not get any professional assistance, and it was never discussed again in that family until that night at 19. It finally boiled over, and it just, all of the pain inside of him, all the uncertainty, all the doubt about himself, all the fears about what was happening to him, just boiled over, and he was finally able to get in the hands of a professional. Years after the fact, some on the phone may be dealing with things they haven't yet processed through professionally. If you're in that position, please get some assistance from a good qualified therapist. Ask for some referrals. You should be able to find somebody through an organization that you can trust so that you can get some assistance, because those are the two major causes of self-esteem issues. Something that's been stolen from us, something that's been lost. It could be anywhere from a limb to a heart attack that impedes our ability to enjoy a retirement. It can be the loss of financial loss of significance that causes bankruptcy. It could be a rape. It could be child abuse. It could be a bad relationship, an abusive relationship. These very, very serious things that just come inside our souls and just rip our hearts out. So if you've had those and need some assistance, those are the two major causes of low self-esteem. Now, we talked about being real and genuine and authentic. And I'll tell you in a few moments, there are approximately six ways to actually accomplish this, and I'm going to delineate those for you right in a row. But to be real and genuine and authentic, I said that real is relationships, connecting with people. Genuine, the root word is genus or genius. It's owning our own genius. Being an ascetic, self-denying, pretending like we don't have a gift is not being genuine. Genuine is owning your gifts in the service of others. This is not arrogance. This is not flaunting. As I mentioned last week, that's overcompensation. This is about being genuine, about owning your genius and authentic, authosectic, being your real self, which is making the decision to act on your own moral authority. That's not making up new rules, as I said last week. This is about surrendering to and submitting to things that will benefit your life. It's about doing things the right thing for the right reason. Not because somebody else wants you to, because you want to. Not because you have to, because you choose to. I choose to make those phone calls. I choose to work tonight. I have made this conscious choice. It is my life. I am being my real self. That's what I saw in this man this weekend. I saw his real self come out. And for years he has been in such resistance, such rebellion. He couldn't be himself. And now when he surrendered, that's when all his beauty showed up. That's when all of his grace and his goodness and his kindness and his ability all showed up. When he stopped trying to resist. Because when we talked about that need to, and those four tethers, the need to impress and pretend and feel ashamed and fear, that when we are feeling less than, we try to impress people with what we do have. If we feel less than, we may pretend we have things we don't. These are called lies. In society, we usually don't call them lies, but they're lies. We either leave somebody with an impression that's not true, or we out and out fabricate something, we make it bigger than. And in this industry, the biggest challenge is when someone says, how much money do you make? How are you doing? And the reality is that in our pretending and our attempting to impress, we create a lack of trust, duplicity. A person's mirror neurons can pick this up. They know something's not right. They don't know what it is. They just know it's not right. Something's not clicking. Duplicitous is double-minded. We're saying one thing and really trying to say something else, and it leaks out on our face. We have 200 muscle sets in our face. 2 to the power of 200 minus 1. That's millions and millions of facial expressions that we can make. And the person's mirror neurons can pick up every one of those and send chemicals in the body, sending warning signals. Warning, warning, warning. The natural and most common reaction to that warning signal is a question, it's a doubt about your credibility. Something isn't right. Well, how much money are you making? People, as I said, I believe I said this, they don't get asked that question if they're real and genuine and authentic. They only get asked that question repeatedly when they're trying to impress. So if you're getting asked that question a lot, just know that you're trying to play a game. You're trying to pretend that things are better than they should be, and people know. They can read it. They just know. So stop pretending. Just be real. This is where I am. This is what I've done so far. So what have you been in the business for 2 years? For 2 years, I goofed off. For 2 years, I acted like I was in the business. For 2 years, I played around. I finally got serious last week, and let me share with you what I've done in a week. You want to join me? Because in a week, we could be working together and take this to the next level. You want to join me? My mentor is this person, this person I'm working with, and this is what they've done, and I'm on track to do that. I've been doing this for 6 months, haven't made lots of money yet, but this is where I am. Well, that's a lot of work. Yeah, well, 6 months, where are you going to be? If you don't change something, where are you going to be in 6 months? Because 6 months is going to come here. I'll be 6 months farther ahead. Where will you be? Still where you are, trying to figure out how to do it quickly? That's real discussion. People respond to things that are real. So let's get away from the impress and pretend. Feeling shame. I talked about Og last week, wanting to commit suicide. Thank goodness he went to the library and read some books, Clement Stone's book and others, Think and Grow Rich, and great books that inspired him to be a different person. He was an alcoholic too. And last is fear. This is the greatest, greatest challenge we face, fear. Most of it, false evidence appearing real, most of it we generate in our own lives. We make things worse than they really are. They're bad enough, but we make them even worse. And then we have all kinds of anxiety when our expectations aren't met or things are, you know, we're facing that mortgage payment or that rent payment. You know, we got that kind of a feeling in our gut. Well, we talked about after this finding you. Visualization, just for you to find a quiet place. That's recorded. You'll be able to listen to it again from that call. It's also going to be in the self-esteem section by itself, set to music. That'll be up here in a few days, and you'll be able to go back and listen to that visualization on a regular basis. Just quiet your mind, quiet these thought processes to a point that is just you. Just you, recognizing those thoughts, but just shutting them off, just letting them go, till it's just you. It's a wonderful place to be, especially when you realize that you're okay. It's just noise. It's just noise. So let the noise go. Tonight, I want to focus on healing your self-esteem. What do we do to heal this? So we've got challenges. So we've been impressing and pretending and feeling ashamed and having fear. And we got self-doubts about ourselves. What do we do? What are the very specific steps that we can take? And here they are. Number one, intrinsic validation. This is in the connecting with people section. It's about finding good in other people. And I might add, finding good in yourself at the same time. Verbalizing that. Listening for doors, those verbal hints about what someone is thinking. Stepping into their world, staying in their world. And bringing your life experience with you. It's bringing your life experience. This is one of the great gifts that you have. All this craziness that's happened, you get to bring it with you. And you get to use it in the service of another person. That's the number one and greatest thing that we can do. When we own our own life experience, then we get to know ourselves. That's the old know thyself. Know thyself. What are all the crazy things that are going on? What's my life? Own it. This is my life. We start to become whole when we embrace all of our life, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And then we simply use it as a reference point, no longer as a sack we're carrying behind us, but we use it as a reference point to serve another person. Now, you're sitting in a conversation with someone, and they're having a difficult challenge, and something comes to our mind. Gosh, I wonder if they're feeling this way. Well, do you ever feel this way? Has this ever happened? Have you ever tried something like this? Oh, yeah. Oh, tell me more about that. You just had a healing moment in your own soul. there was value in your suffering because you just helped someone else deal with theirs as a result of yours. What a gift to be able to use your life experience to better understand what someone else is experiencing. This is a major source of healing. When I had my Chicago dream, which you can read about in the same section, connecting with people, that was the revelation. That at the end, as I began to ask questions, my soul was healing. It's a very interesting piece. You want to find yourself? Lose yourself in the service of others. Let go of the selfish need to make it about you. And intrinsically validate. Focus on connecting with people. This is a big piece. So that's number one. That's the major piece. Any questions about that? How intrinsic validation helps to heal self-esteem? Any questions? Okay. Second one. This is an interesting one. It's how we use our mind to create. When we are present in the now, this is the section on goals and expectations. It's quality number two. I've got, I think, six or seven audio sections, 3 hours on this very topic. We're present in the now, connecting with people, or doing tasks, or we're fully present in our mind in five constructive activities. We never go over to the void, that thing over here on the left, which is fantasy, catastrophe, and counterfeit pleasure. We just don't go over there. We stay present in this place. I had someone send me an email this morning, and the question was, what do you mean by conduit? Because I say that if your goal is to stay focused and bring abundance to the lives of another person, and you're in your mind creating, what can I create? How can I create it? How will this serve? And we're mentally rehearsing. We're exploring. We're seeking inspiration. If there's anyone I can serve, put them on my path and I'll serve them. We're planning. We're goal setting. And we are problem solving. Those are the five things that we're doing if we're in that space. And our focus is blessing the lives of other people. It keeps a conduit open between us and the higher power. I call that higher power God. That higher power then can manifest to us ideas, impressions, and solutions to problems. This is what it does when our focus is blessing the lives of other people. This was the question I got asked this morning. Let me just go right up here, too, and I'll read you a little piece of this email. Question was, thanks again. I just wanted to ask you a question about the conversation we had about having a conduit between me and God. This conversation we had up at the cabin. Can you please tell me exactly what is the conduit and how you open it up and keep it open? I have an understanding, but I'm not quite 100% clear. This is what I wrote. The conduit is an open line of communication. When we focus on blessing the lives of others, God will manifest ideas, impressions, and solutions to problems. For example, we may say, if there's anyone I can serve, put them on my path and I'll serve them. We then focus on receiving an idea or impression. Now, the world teaches you a whole lot about, I receive, I'm worthy to receive. Yeah, it's so misunderstood. What we receive is not money. It's not gold and garments and petty victories and love and all the stuff Og talks about that we don't get. What we receive is an idea about how to create it, an impression about how to serve someone, a solution to a problem that can get us closer to creating that. God does not manifest tangible reality when we're in our mind thinking, but he does manifest ideas, impressions, and solutions. When we focus on receiving an idea or impression, if our heart truly is focused on blessing people, we will receive. It may come in the form of an impression to call someone or an idea of a way we can serve someone. Just like we see things in our mind that we want, for example, cars and homes and wealth, we can see our experience. And to experience these ideas and impressions, our imagination will be carried away and we'll see ourselves. Well, we had one today in a session. We were doing a coaching session. Grandma, who's 90 years old, who's looking for a reason to live, is really interested in a grandchild that's coming. It's her third great-grandchild, fourth great-grandchild, I'm sorry. And what could we do? And what my client saw, he saw a picture of the baby. We call it sonogram, is that what they call that? When they're doing the little, you know, checking the fetus. Little pictures. They're going to do one about every 3-4 weeks. Because of her age, his wife's age, to make sure everything is okay. And each one, they're going to put a little, he saw a little bubble coming out of the little teeny baby. He says, looks like a peanut right now. He says, great-grandma, I'm coming soon. Hang in there. You know, that was one. The next one, I'm getting bigger. I'm almost here. See you soon. And having that little conversation going on, can you imagine that? The grandma receiving these framed pictures with those little bubbles, think bubbles, with a little comment on there, and then the reunion when they bring that child to see grandma next March when it's born. How glorious is that? An idea of what they could do to bring a smile to grandmother's face every few weeks in this process to have her feel part of it. He saw that the same way some person might see a Ferrari or a beautiful home or a swimming pool or whatever it might be. It's the same process. Except for instead of escaping to some fantasy, we are being given an impression of an idea that we act on. When we act on these impressions, the veracity is confirmed, and we gain greater confidence in these ideas, impressions, and solutions. We also gain greater trust in God, and God gains greater trust that we will act when prompted. I can't emphasize this enough. If you haven't tried this yet, every morning when you wake up, if there's someone I can serve, put them on my path and I will serve them. And instead of going over into fantasy and catastrophe, spend some time that day pondering people in your life from your childhood up until some name comes to your mind, you can't get them off your mind. Give them a call and ask them how they're doing. And tell them their name has been on your mind all day. Are they okay? Really? Are they really okay? More often than not, that something was wrong, and they need to hear from someone like you. They just need to know that it's okay. And you can say to them, I know you're okay. God knows your name. He told me to call you. And then you have greater confidence in that higher power. I call it God. I hope you're okay with that. This is one of the greatest sources of improving self-esteem, to know that you're known. To know that you're known and to know that you've been trusted to serve another person who's in trouble. God does not turn that assignment over to nobody, a nobody. Trusted person with a life experience unique to bless the life of that other person. This is one of the greatest sources of improving self-esteem. So we have intrinsically validating, connecting with people, using our life experience to better understand another person, we heal. As we use our mind constructively and we get these ideas and we act on them, we go, man, that was so inspired. Wow, thank you. Deep sense of gratitude and knowing that you're known and knowing that you're trusted. Second great source of self-esteem. Third one. Everybody okay so far? Third source of self-esteem is action, taking action. Og talks about it in Scroll 9 in a beautiful way when he says, you know, my fear which has held me back was born of procrastination. My procrastination was born of fear, excuse me. Procrastination which has held me back. He says, I've learned the secret mind from the depths of all courageous souls, the courageous hearts. That's heart of hearts, cooler French for heart of hearts. That to remove the flutters in my heart, I must act without hesitation. Now, I know that action will reduce the lion of terror to an ant of equanimity, the peace of mind. The peace of mind we get is when we're in action. We're doing hard work. We're doing the hard thing. There's a sense of accomplishment that comes. We are using our gift, our genius, our genuineness. We're using our genius, and as we're using it fully, there is a sense of accomplishment, a sense of purpose, a sense of meaning in our lives. That's only half of it. But that's a glorious peace if that's all we got from being in action. There's a peace of mind that comes from doing that hard thing and having it done. The second piece is interesting, and that's this one. Most of us do not have all of the ability that we'll need to bring our dreams to fruition. Just don't, not yet. It's been my witness that as you fully maximize the gifts you've been given, you will be endowed with even more. Great parable on this in the Bible, if you study the Bible, about the 10 talents. Go back and read that, Matthew chapter 25. We are given more when we fully utilize what we have been given. You cannot get more unless you're using what you've been given. How could you ask for more if you've been burying what you've got with fear? It just won't work. So the very first place we focus to heal our self-esteem in terms of action is fully using what we have, and we won't know what that is until we finally surrender our resistance and rebellion, get our foot off the brake, and press on the gas and go full bore. It's called living, being alive, waking up and making every day matter. It's not being just an employee where you just show up, go through the motions, go home, watch TV, drink a couple beers, go to sleep, do the same thing the next day. That's dying. This is choosing to live, making every minute count. I'll tell you what every minute looks like. Yesterday, we were up at the cabin. We made the decision to boat on Saturday, and we had four-wheel drive yesterday. So we got up that morning, and we put all the four-wheelers on a trailer because we wanted to go to a canyon that was quite a ways away. And we trailered up in those beautiful mountains, and we rode along a stream. Imagine a stream going along the left-hand side. And we got grandkids in car seats, and, oh, just a wonderful little entourage heading up this mountain. We went up to the top of a peak and down off into a valley and got underneath some trees and had a wonderful lunch and worked our way back. And by the time we got back, machines all cleaned up, it's 4 o'clock. Well, anybody was out of town yesterday, And you had to do something this morning, as I did. I had a coaching session starting at 8 o'clock this morning. Got to get back home. Got to get back home. But at 4 o'clock, we looked out at the lake, and it was starting to calm down. It had been kind of windy all day. And there weren't very many boats out there. And my son says, "What do you think, Dad?" I said, "Let's do it." So we found out who wanted to go. And we got the boat out. It was all cleaned up. It was ready, vacuumed, all set to be put away for the wintertime. And we took the cover off and went back out again. And we were sitting there boating about 6 o'clock that night. Got two kids behind me, son-in-law and my son, both surfing at the same time, both on either side. One is goofy and one is regular. If anybody knows anything about surfing or wakeboarding, they're playing on the waves, splashing each other, came up on top of the wave. They're holding hands. Then they tried coming off the deck, slid back into the wave and surfed. Then went back up on the deck again. We were having a blast. We got all on video. And I got a spontaneous phone call from a son today just to say, "Dad, I just want to thank you." That was just so amazing. Because there was a time when I wouldn't have done that. I'd have said, "No, I'm kind of tired. You know, it's been a long weekend, but the boat's all clean." No. We can clean the boat again. Now, we didn't get home till 2 o'clock this morning. I can tell you that was a little trying. But we squeezed every second out of that day. That's how you want to live. You want to live alive. Make things happen. Because when you're in action at that level, using your gifts, you will be given more. First of all, you'll be surprised how much you've already got. Once you let go of impress and pretend and feel ashamed and fear, you'll be surprised how much you've got you haven't been using. Oh, my goodness, where'd this come from? And as soon as you maximize that and you're using it and you need more, poof, there it is, it shows up. That is a great self-esteem builder, to fully maximize your gifts and know what they are. Does everybody have that one? So we intrinsically validate, we connect with people and use our experiences to bless the lives of others. We mentally create. Focusing on blessing the lives of others, we get inspired ideas and impressions and solutions. We take action, fully using what we've already been given, our genuineness. We use our genie. We rub the bottle and the genie comes out. We fully maximize the genie. And then we're endowed with even more. Here's the next one. We did it in our little visualization last week. Stillness. It's important that you have some stillness. Be still. Now, sometimes your mind is going so crazy. Cortisol is being released at such high levels and pheochromocytes that you're out of control. There's no question. Sometimes you just have to go exercise or laugh or do something. When you get this audio you got from last week, you can use it from there. It's toward the end of the recording. And as I said, you'll have a standalone here soon. You want to listen to this so that you can have this quietness. This quietness. There's power and stillness of knowing that you are okay. Of knowing that you don't have to do anything, be anything. You just are. You are priceless, just the way you are. Regardless of what you've done, regardless of where you've been, regardless of all those things, you are still absolutely priceless. And all that noise in your head that's trying to tell you otherwise is just noise in your head. It's just thought processes. And as you start to shut them down, you'll have confidence that you, in fact, can. And you'll want to, people do it through meditation, some people through like yoga, some people through prayer. But find moments where you can have stillness. I have one last one for you. The last one's affirmations. It's feeding your mind new thoughts. Now, those of you who have done that little 995 upgrade on your back-end tools, already have, or have, you know, if you may have all the others already before that was even available, you have all 36 affirmations of an intentional creator. They've been divided into the six qualities of an intentional creator. Connecting with people has six characteristics and has six affirmations. I am this. I am this. I am this. If I were you and I were studying like Scroll 2, for an example, I'll greet this day with love in my heart, I'd be listening to the affirmations for connecting with people. And I would just be stepping back. And when you hear a voice says, that's not you, that's not what you did, you just say, that's not me, that's just a thought. This is who I am. I am. There's no question why we're using that phrase. I am. Dr. Hartman, who did the mathematics for our assessment, said that there is a scientific principle called the reduction of the one. It's rescission of the ones where you look at yourself. I think I mentioned this last week. And we say, I see myself. There's some things I'd like to improve, so I work on improving them. I grow. The next day, I look at myself. I see some things I'd like to improve. I prove them, and I grow. Hogg said it. I shed my old skin, the bruises of failure and the wounds of mediocrity. We make that decision. I step back. I step back. I step back. His question is who's the I? Is a scientist asking this question. Who is the I? The one who can observe all of this. The one who is aware enough to see it. Who is that? Because that's the real you. I can see this. I see what needs to be proved. I make the changes, and I grow, and I shed my old skin. But I am stepping back and stepping back. Sorry, it's called the regression of the one. This can be done for as long as we live. Continually, continually growing and growing. But I is always the constant. I can see. I can see. I am aware. I am. He concluded as a scientist, I am. That's all I could say. I am that I am. I am. So when you say I am statements, you're getting back to the core of your very being. I am. I am clear. I am conscious. I am. Those are affirmations. We want you to be able to listen to those as you go through this process. Now, those are your five ways to heal yourself, heal your self-esteem. You'll notice that every one of them, starting with connecting with others, is focused on another person. Mental creation, I'm focused on another person. Now I'm taking action on that inspiration about blessing the life of another person. I have quiet and stillness so I can be whole and complete, so that I'm available to serve another person. Affirmations are about I am able to, I can see, and bless other people. That's how we heal our self-esteem. So where do you start with all of this? I highly recommend you start with connecting with people. You start with intrinsic validation at the simplest step, looking for the good in another person, what's important to them. Can you see it? Can you look for it? Stepping outside of yourself. Many people never have done this. They just haven't done it. We start looking for this, stepping into their world. And then you start verbalizing it, saying it. It's going to feel awkward at first. It's okay. You're not being fake or phony. You're just being aware. Then you listen for doors, verbal hints about what they're thinking, and you step into their world. And the process begins from there. Go to that one place. If you're having a struggle with self-esteem, that's the place to start. You're going to have fear come up for you. It's great you get to take it on. There's some shame. There's some need to impress and pretend. You start to feel each one of those when they're showing up. You say, wow, why am I going here? This is a nuisance. We don't just attack self-esteem. Gosh, I've got bad self-esteem. That's the seven-headed Medusa. We focus on other people. We focus on mentally creating something to bless the lives of another person. Next, that's the next step. Then we start taking that action. We work on stillness. We study our affirmations. We read our scrolls. We actually live this material. It doesn't become a game anymore. It doesn't become a coaching session. It becomes a way of life. Okay. I'm going to open this up to all of you. We have about 10 minutes left in this call. If anybody's got any questions, if we don't, we're going to wrap up the session. But this is an opportunity for you to ask a question or to explore anything on this topic or others that we've explored. Any challenges you might be having in your business or life that you'd like to discuss would be appropriate. Please, I'm going to open up the floor for you. So is there anyone that would like to share, please?
Dave, this is Shane. I'd like to share.
It's good to hear your voice, Shane.
Well, thank you. Tonight when you were talking about on a daily if we go to work, that's not really living. And last week and the first 2 days of this week, inside I've been a little bit different, and I haven't been able to put a finger on it until I feel like I'm actually living. Judy and I are still on track to the goals that we made last Monday. We've had our moments of, some nervousness or some anxiety, but being able to use the relaxation exercise from last week, there was an opportunity for one of us to use that, and we forgot about it, but now it's part of something that we can do. But as a whole, there just isn't a lot of that stuff there. But the living that's being done, and the goals that we meet on a daily basis based on our plan is just setting us up for success. And one of my friends last Monday, on the first things we told him. The first thing he said to us when we told him the situation was congratulations, and then he said that you guys have been prepared for this moment. And I think I shared that last week too, but those thoughts keep going through my head anytime that I have any doubts or feeling a little anxiety about what's going on. But Judy and I are connecting with people and intrinsically validating them and finding out what their needs are and how I may be able to help them out. And the conversations and the connections that I'm having with people, even when I talk to people who I can't help or aren't interested in what I have to say. There's still good conversations, and so I'm just enjoying that moment and just focusing on, you know, every day individually to just keep going.
What's the difference, Shane, of walking a tightrope with a safety net and walking a tightrope without a safety net?
Obviously, it's a lot easier to get on the rope with a safety net. Are you comparing a rope with a safety net compared to doing a home-based business and having a job compared to not having a job?
Well, I just, you talked about being alive, and I was having this visual as you were talking, and the visual was, when there's a safety net, I don't have to be quite as concerned where I place my feet, how I'm balancing the bar. I can do it, but not at the same level, because if I fall, I'm okay. When the job's gone, and this is your livelihood, is there a chance that you just might pay a little bit more attention to where you're placing your feet? A little bit more precision, a little bit more care and caution in the way you run your life, a little bit more excitement running through your veins, a little bit more adrenaline, feeling more alive. That's what I was asking.
Well, at the same time, I think if you run through your head all the things you got to do right so you don't fall, you overload yourself. And I've had periods of that in the last week or so where there's so many things I want to get done today. I don't get them done. At the end of the day, I look back and I thought, how in the world did you even think that you were going to get all that stuff done today anyway?
One step at a time, right?
That's right. One step at a time for sure. And so far so good. We have too many reasons. All of the reasons to succeed have manifested themselves to us in one way or another. One of the biggest ones is, I think it was on Wednesday, my daughter called me her full-time daddy. And if I don't stay a full-time daddy, that one's going to hurt. So it's just full steam ahead, and success is the only option for us.
Burn the boats, huh?
From the boats. Yep.
Yeah. I'll just tell you how proud we are of you, Judy, and taking this on, because coming back from the couples retreat and finding out the next day that you've been laid off, especially when we're talking about, well, you got this foundation. I remember sitting right over, I'm looking right through the porch over at the family room where we were sitting having this conversation about, well, this is here, so you've got this, so you can keep building. You got this foundation, and the next day to have the foundation gone and to be so positive. I know, Shane, there's some people on the call tonight who are dealing with overwhelm and dealing with fear and a sense of loss. They just can't let go of the fear that they have. Just go into your heart for a moment. And Judy, if you're on the line with us as well, you've just taken on a pretty big thing. I know how important that job was to you. Those of you may not know, Shane was a superintendent in a very successful construction company, and has been, and has been building his home-based business quite faithfully. He's done very, very well this year already while doing his job as well. So he was a good example of someone who truly would come home from a very long day at work and then pour his heart into this business because he wanted to change things for his family. It's interesting your daughter would make that comment. That's really cool. Anything you'd like to share with those who are just hanging on to and just hesitant to let go and just go full bore?
Hey, Dave, this is Judy.
Hi, Judy.
How are you?
Well, I'm doing really well, knowing you're doing well.
Yeah. My advice as the wife or as the spouse, you know, next to the breadwinner, it was interesting to me because I wasn't more worried for me. I was more worried of how Shane would feel, you know, being the breadwinner and being laid off and that kind of thing. But as you had said, you know, just having that intrinsic validation and stepping into his world, and being able to validate him as a husband, as a father, and what a great job he does at those tasks. And he is an incredible breadwinner for our family and always has been and always will be. But just being able to, number one, be honest with yourself and with the people around you with what's going on. Like you were saying, you know, when we talk to our contacts, you know, how are you doing? Well, you know what? Today I'm hanging in there, and it's an absolutely fabulous day. You know, tomorrow's a new day, and yesterday was a different day than that. Like Shane said, we had our moments of anxiety and nervousness, and, you know, sometimes the things would come in. But just, you know, be open and honest with your communication and let your partner know exactly what you're feeling and what causes you that anxiety and what causes you that fear. And if you talk about it and you walk yourself through it and you visualize what's going to happen, you absolutely can make it through anything, and it'll be okay. And I think just honesty and communication is the key to it, and, you know, keeping your eyes on the goal of what's ahead and the journey, because, you know, yeah, this is a bump in the road, but gosh, roller coasters aren't fun if they're straight, so we have to have those turns and those bumps, and that's absolutely what has kept Shane and I going. We've actually had absolutely wonderful communication in the last week and a half because we've been able to, since coming home from the couples retreat, 100% be open and honest with our communication and let go of our own fears of what the other person. And so that would be my advice, is just, you know, sit by each other and be open and, you know, enjoy the journey.
Wonderful. Thank you. Let us go with that, because it's very healthy to be in a relationship where two people love each other. If you're in that kind of a relationship, some may not be. Some may be doing this on a solo basis, and if so, the more honest you are with the people you talk to, just honest about what's going on. That, and I just got a message from Dan McCormick. I mentioned his name earlier in the program. Dan is so positive. He never lets somebody else see his pain, but he's very honest about the business. This could be the hardest business you ever do. That's the truth. No games, no duplicity, no double-mindedness, just a straight shot. I think we're living in a time where people appreciate honesty, and when you're honest in action, serving other people, your self-esteem begins to heal. So let's focus on this piece this week. Now, I want to give you a scroll to study. I want you to study scroll number 4. I'm nature's greatest miracle. There's a great section in there that talks about family, and Shane, you prompted this with your comment about, I have a full-time dad. I will leave the problems of my home in my home when I'm out in the marketplace. When I'm at home, I'll leave the problems of the marketplace in the marketplace. That doesn't mean you can't have a home-based business. It just means that there's a time when you're fully present for those you love, and there's a time when you're fully present for your business. And you keep them separated. And that's a great way to heal self-esteem as well. And to keep your actions focused on the task at hand. That's being in action. Very healthy place to be. There's a fire that burns inside of all of us. Let us waken it. Let us fan those flames of dissatisfaction. Proclaim your uniqueness to the world. Go into action. Take these 5 ways of healing your self-esteem, and to start applying them in your life and feel differently about yourself. Shane, what I'm so excited about, and for you, Judy, is any doubt you had about yourself in just a few weeks will be gone, because you will have proven to yourself that you can do this. And once you know that, it doesn't matter what happens. It doesn't matter whether a company goes out of existence. It doesn't matter. Once you know you can do this by yourself, in partnership with God, of course, once you know you can dig as deep as you have to do whatever is necessary, you can do it. You'll have no more fear the rest of your life. Fear won't even be a part of your life. And imagine what it would be like to live without fear. So let's take our feet off the brakes this week. Let's put them on the gas. Let's let go. Let's, as my dear friend said, just give up our rebellion and our resistance, and let's see if we can't create something exceptional this week. We're on a 90-day challenge. This is part of it. This is part of it, is getting out of your own way As the speaker said last night that I was listening to, there's more of God in me and less of myself in the way. May that be your week. Everybody have a great one. We look forward to seeing you next week. Good night, everybody.